Draft on Draft podcast. I am your co-host Corey Kinnon alongside Dalton Miller as always, and today we're going to be talking about sometimes some of the best part of going out to eat for dinner, the best part of going out on that date, and you can't finish your whole meal and you bring home the leftovers. Well, we got plenty of leftovers to talk about here heading into summer scouting here, and what we mean by that is we always write up a handful of guys that decide to go back to school, so we've got some guys to talk about to hold us over until we can get deeper into this class here. But Dalton, are you excited? Are you ready to go?
I will say I have quarterback takes, and I'm very, very ready to get to those quarterback takes this week. More of the fringe guys, but I think mm-hmm. you and I are going to argue about your favorite quarterback a little bit. And so that'll make for some fun times. Argue might be a little bit strong. We might have a couple of disagreements about him, particularly in one area, but we will discuss that on another episode because we're not talking about any quarterbacks today. And I'm really excited about that because I'm tired of talking about quarterbacks. And I know you have a list of kind of some of your favorite guys that returned. I made a list and it's just like a big list of guys that returned. And there are a couple of guys that I really love on my list. And I think we're just going to run down through these guys and say a quick little piece about them and say what to look forward to this year and move along.
Yeah.
Quick hitters here, man. Like 25 players or something. Like, it's a big list, but we're going to run through them.
Yeah. Quick hitters. Let's start with a couple guys who were like top 50 players on people's boards heading into the season last year that both ended up not playing very well and going back to school and transferring, actually. Let's start with Tecario Davis, who you said coming into last season, I don't like tall corners, but I love Tecario Davis.
I did.
And then he ended up transferring to Washington, headed back to school, transferred to Washington, and now is a 2026 guy. Have your feelings on Tecario changed at all?
No, because I didn't watch him last year. No, I watched him early in the year, and I think it was pretty clear to me he was not having the same type of impact that he had when I watched him over the summer. And so I think going to Washington is fantastic because I think Washington has consistently put out some very, very pro ready guys, and they've done it with a plethora of different type of guys. And he fits in that mold of some of the bigger guys that they have had there in the past. And so if they can get him a little bit more pro ready when it comes to being a little bit more reliable quick-witted when it comes to what he's seeing in front of him, I think that that could go a long way in his draft stock.
The next guy is a guy that I truly don't see it with, and he had a pretty bad year last year at Florida State, but came in with some top 50 buzz. Again, when I look at like the two past defensive rookie of the year winners and Will Anderson and Jared Verse, like, I think we're coming back around to like players need a power profile. Players need the ability to convert speed to power. And Patrick Payton, now at LSU from Florida State, is one of those guys that doesn't have much of a power profile to his game right now.
Yeah, honestly, I didn't watch him. So he wasn't even on my radar at all last year.
A couple other big names here. And then we'll hit on some of the other guys on our list here. LT Overton from Alabama, again, has inside-out versatility at 6'3", 280. I do think he does a good job of being able to win outside shoulder at 280. Like when he is playing 5'7", like, oh, that guy's got a decent amount of flexion and flexibility in his hips despite that size. I want to see more from him inside, though, to be honest, because he is, again, 280 pounds. And at this point, like, I don't know if he's like as explosive linearly as you would want a guy outside. And so we're like right now he's kind of a master of none is not, he's explosive. That's not the right way to say that. But right now I think he's kind of,
if he's going to win, it's going to be Cam Jordan-ish.
Yeah, for sure. Exactly. Yeah. But right now he's kind of more of a master of none than like, I think he needs like a calling card. He needs something that he can consistently lean upon or go to.
He needs a great while maintaining plan. He needs a great plan and the ability to win straight through the chest. I will say he is one of the few guys who actually did give Armin Membau a couple of issues a couple of times. And one of them was coming from inside shoulder to outside the arc. So he has that ability in his game at 280. You're right.
If you watch that Wisconsin game alone, you think this guy's a top five player. Wisconsin. But he's kind of Jekyll and Hyde-ish in that regard. Another defensive lineman here. Dante Corleone decided to go back to Cincinnati after having some blood clot issues last year, but played well. And again, in terms of being a pure run defending defensive tackle, one of the better ones. And then he also took a massive step forward in terms of showing some juice as a pass rusher, showing some wiggle as a pass rusher for Cincinnati as well. Heads back to Cincinnati for his fifth year now. And we've been kind of talking about Corleone for 2 years now.
Yeah.
I guess 2.5 at this point. Yeah. So I'm excited to see Dante Corleone. Hopefully that clean bill of health continues.
Yeah. Stay healthy, big man.
Let's just round up my list here. Some fun names here. So I want to throw out, I mean, I've talked about him a ton. No, I talked about him a ton here.
It's been a long time though.
It has been. Wyoming tight end, John Michael Gillenborg, dude. And I again, don't ask the guy to block. He's like what? 6'5", 225. So like, he's not a very big dude. Don't ask the dude to block, but like, is he? He might be a little bit bigger than that. But boy, in terms of being a pure F tight end, being a vertical plane field stretcher, being an absolute nightmare to try to get a body on, I really, really like John Michael Gillenborg. And like this, to me, like, this is guys like, there's no reason this guy can't go top 100 as an F tight end. In today's NFL, there's no reason this guy can't go top 100.
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with that, especially because I think he's going to test really well. And testing really well at the tight end position is huge, so...
He's very Mike Gesicki-ish. Like, it's like Mike Gesicki is.
Yeah, but Gesicki was 6'5", 260.
Well, that's also true. Big dude, tested out of the gym, jumped out of the gym at a Power 5 school. So, that's a pretty big difference. Xavier Scott, corner out of Illinois, is another one that I hit on in an article that I wrote last week about some of these carryover guys. I was told last year that Xavier Scott had some top 50 love for some teams. Played a lot of nickel for Illinois, but so did Devon Witherspoon when Devon Witherspoon was there. And so does Devon Witherspoon now, and he went fifth overall. So like, he's not as twitched up or as aggressive with his trigger as Devon Witherspoon is, but there's a lot to like about Xavier Scott at Illinois. We'll see if he plays a little bit more outside the number, because I do think it was about 65-35 this past year, but I do like Xavier Scott quite a bit.
Yeah, another guy I didn't get to. Yeah.
Last two guys on my list, and I know you've hit on both of these. You have opinions on both these guys. Sticking with Illinois, Gabe Jackus. Again, Gabe Jackus is a guy that I've been on since he was a true freshman when I was doing some consulting, and I was specifically watching Big Ten for this consulting firm, and I was like, who is this freshman? And again, he hasn't really like taken a leap since being a true freshman, and is kind of a like what you see is what you get player, but what you see is a guy who can win through the chest, who isn't quite as long as you would hope for, but a very stout run defender, can win through the chest and plays with that kind of explosiveness and power profile that will get him reps at the NFL level pretty consistently.
Yeah, and he's, like you said, talking about consistency, I just feel like he's a very consistent player. Mm-hmm. Like, you're right. What you see is kind of what you get from him, and to me, he feels like the perfect like fringe day 2-3 guy that is a rotational guy. A little bit like Dorrance Armstrong-y. I can see him having Dorrance was way more flexible, and like I thought that he had the ability to rush the arc at the NFL level, and it just like kind of, but never really materialized in the way that I thought it might. But a good solid pro player.
I like that comparison. Last two on my list here are two SEC players. One, R. Mason Thomas out of Oklahoma, who again. Is going to be a the average Oklahoma DPR, right? Like,
yes,
obviously you hope he's Nick Benito. You hope that he can have a career like Agua Okoronkwo, but like very much in the same mold as those two guys. You put that guy on the field in third down and he's got some juice. Like, not a lot of people could make Will Campbell look really silly last year. And R. Mason Thomas made Will Campbell look pretty silly in that LSU game last year. Just a lot of bend, a lot of juice off the edge. And then last one, We talked about him over the summer last year and then didn't really get back to him a lot in season because he didn't give us a lot to get back to. But that is going to be Arkansas offensive lineman Fernando Carmona, who is moving inside and playing guard.
I was going to say guard.
He's playing guard this year, actually. Yeah. So we're going to actually get the guard tape on tape, you know, where he's playing left tackle at San Jose and then Arkansas last year. And honestly, maybe the most notable thing that he did last year was he cleated a player and he got kind of a bad rep for that. So we'll hope the guard tape is quite a bit better at Arkansas here year two in the SEC. Don, let's dive into your list, man.
Danny Dennis Sutton, and I bring him up specifically because he is very, very, very high on the MDS at Pro Football Network. And I just don't see it. I just don't see it at all. I understand like the Penn State edge rusher with the crazy body. But I don't see it on tape with him personally. How do you feel about it? Do you have any words on him?
Yeah, I mean, he played a lot better down the stretch. So if you watch just like the late season games, you'd think, oh yeah, this guy's a first round pick. In my opinion, like there's a lot of flashes in those, but I want to see some more consistently because I do think he is that high end athlete. He looks like $1 million as well.
Yeah, he looks like a million bucks.
He looks like $1 million. So we'll see if he can consistently throw it all together this year. Again, I did like what he did down the stretch, but we'll see if we can get a full season of that out of Denny Dennis Sutton.
Will Lee,
your guy. This is your guy.
My guy. Man. Yeah, dude. I did love watching his game. He's got the right type of attitude for me at corner. I don't think he's the best athlete in the world, but love the attitude, and we will see how that goes this year. He's probably a day three pick, but he's a really, really fun day three pick, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Deontay Lawson, who I actually had graded higher than Jihan Campbell heading into the year. Thought he was very good in coverage. Thought he was a very underwhelming as a run defender overall. I just think that there's some issues with not his trigger, but the take-on ability, and more of an issue with his finishing ability, which is an issue. But overall, like good player, like good modern NFL linebacker, who I think is a day three guy at the next level. But somebody who is not a day three guy at the next level is Nick Singleton. I'm going to put his tape on the Patreon, and it's just going to be him in pass pro. I'm going to cut up all of his rushing reps. I'm going to cut up all of his receiving reps, but I am going to cut up every single one of his pass rush reps. And I might put that on YouTube too. Cause I mean, the world needs to see what he does in pass protection. It's amazing.
Yeah, we are hit like a little bit of a rough patch for quarterback play in college football, where quarterback play in college football might be the worst that it's been in a little while. But running back pass pro, something's a little in the water with these running backs, because like you turn on 75% of them now, and these dudes are dropping their shoulders, keeping their eyes up, dropping their shoulders, and looking for absolute work. Singleton's teammate, Catron Allen.
Yeah, listen. I know.
Catron, is he gonna get drafted by the time he might Elijah Holyfield the?
He has. Listen, dude. He doesn't. He doesn't really have much juice. But God, him, he's an effective runner.
He is.
My God, he's.
He legitimately might run like a 4.78.
He was unbelievable in the playoffs. He was legitimately unbelievable in the playoffs. Blake Miller, somebody who hasn't really put it together, but I really like a lot of what he does in pass protection. He is not a very good run blocker. Do you have words? It was a name that I didn't watch him because I didn't think he was going to declare, and then he didn't declare, but Elijah Surratt, fun and definitely productive.
Not a great athlete.
Yeah, exactly.
He's very much like that, like big body boundary tight end, very much like these are the guys that tend to take up like the back end of a wide receiver at the NFL level, like a wide receiver 4, wide receiver 5.
Quintez,
not a high end like separator, but he's got really awesome body control around the boundary. Like he's like one of those Packers receivers, like Dontavian Wicks, or like he fits like that kind of mold of guy.
Like you hope he can somehow turn into Jacoby Myers.
Yeah, yeah, exactly that. Yeah,
yeah.
He should have a great year because he's got in my opinion, a great quarterback throwing him the football. So he should have a stellar season this season in Bloomington.
Parker Brailsford.
Where are you at on a 280-pound center, man?
If I don't see the 280 hurt him all that much, I can live with it. But
is anybody living at that at the NFL level?
At the NFL level, you're going to need to be able to push yourself up closer to that 300-pound range, most likely. Just because at the end of the day, the mass moves mass is a little bit overrated, but there is also something to it, especially when it comes to the ability to absorb contact and anchor down. Footwork has a lot to do with this. Flexibility has a lot to do with this. And when you are a little bit smaller, you know, sometimes you can be a little bit more flexible. But I think at the end of the day, it would be incredibly scheme specific, which is interesting because at Alabama, it's not all wide zone like you would expect from somebody who is going to play that position. So I think coming off the injury, if he's able to get up to like that 290, 295 range and play in that range, I can handle that because then I can confidently see him getting to 300 pounds over the next year or two, because a lot of people really, really liked him, and I didn't see him like that, so I don't expect him to have to start right away either. But then you're taking a backup center, so where does that leave you on day three?
Right. My thing is, like, he's listed at 6'2", 290, so he's legitimately probably 6'1".
Yeah, but if he's...
Like, does he have the frame?
But you also have to think every inch is about 8 pounds.
Yeah.
Every inch is about 8 pounds. So if he's 6'1", but he has decent length and he's 290, 290 is pretty stocky for 6'1". It's really stocky for 6'1". If he was 6 foot, okay, so if he was 6'3", he would be 308 or 306. And then are we even questioning it?
No.
So like for me,
he was 6'3".
What?
Jason Kelce also came in undersized, was 6'3".
Yeah, but we're also not going to.
No, I mean, that's the best case scenario, right?
Yeah. I mean, literally the best case scenario.
So, like, what's the median outcome then? Like, that's where I really struggle with this is, like,
do we like Garrett Bradbury,
who went the first round, but, like, is not very good.
Yeah, but I'm not saying being a first round pick, but I'm saying, like, that's what, like, you can depict his NFL career being if you really like Parker Brailsford.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. Nick Harris, I think.
It could also be like Cushenberry.
Mine for me.
Like Lloyd Cushenberry. Like, Cushenberry was bigger, but Cushenberry was very, very finesse.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Cushenberry and Nick Harris are probably the two guys to maybe compare him to. And Nick Harris, like, is one of those players that has a ton of flexibility because he's tiny. But Nick Harris has suffered two lower half injuries because I think he's trying to take on as much contact and try to hop step anchor. And he's taking on too much force. And I just don't know if he has the frame to kind of absorb that. So. I really like Brailsford. We'll see kind of where that translates to in terms of size. And speaking of that, let's go to this next guy. I'm going to skip one on your list. We'll come back to him. The guy I skip here, but Harold Perkins, man, what do you do with Harold Perkins? I mean, he's legitimately what? Probably 6'1", 220, man. You can't rush him off the edge full time. And he's working with an independent pass rush coach again this offseason, which makes me think that, like, they're going to try to make it happen after playing linebacker for a year and a half. He got hurt last year, obviously. But then even at linebacker, you're still 6'1", 220. Like, you hope that you're as twitched up and as agile as Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah and explosive as JOK, but, like, those guys are a dime a dozen. So, like, I have a really hard time with Harold Perkins. Like,
I have no clue what to do with him. No clue. Just bring him on the field on third down and rush him as off of the edge or move him around like as a chess piece.
You try to play him at Sam in base situation, BPR, but like he set an edge as a Sam. I don't think so.
I don't know.
Effective one. So we'll see how that translates. Harold Perkins very much seems to me like one of those guys that we'll talk a lot about this summer. And by the time
April, like, when people talk around, about tweeners, like,
yeah,
like that's a tweener,
like a big time tweener.
That's not like, oh, he could be good at two positions. This is like...
That's not Jalen Walker. No, this is not Jalen Walker.
Like, is he going to be good at one position? Evan Stewart. I was so ready for it. And it just never happened.
After the Ohio State game, it looked like it was going to happen.
He has all the talent in the world. I don't think it's going to happen. I think we're looking at a Texas receiver. from this year?
Isaiah Bond?
Yeah. I think we're looking at like an Isaiah Bond situation where like legitimately could separate from anybody in the league, but doesn't have the mental makeup to be that guy.
Yeah, obviously there's a little bit more there with Bond too that I get what you're saying. I'm like,
but
Stewart can't play through contact very well. He did have that acrobat, I think it was the Penn State game. No, they didn't play Penn State in the regular season. He had a regular season game where he had an unbelievably acrobatic catch in the back of the end zone.
I watched him get his ass kicked multiple times at Texas A&M and finish through contact.
Yeah,
he's tough, but he's 165 pounds.
And he's playing in an offense that is going to ask him to run the Troy Franklin route tree again, where he's going to run nines or slants or screens. Like those are going to be his three routes that he's going to run. The occasional comeback or stick. So like very limited route tree as well. Yeah. I mean, he might run a burner, like a burning time on a vertical plane though, and get drafted.
And we'll run a 4-3-5.
Day two. Yeah. On day two. And we'll talk about that, but we'll see how this plays out for Evan Stewart. But there's a reason that Oregon was throwing money at wide receivers in the portal as well, like Carnell Tate and some names like that they couldn't really pull in. But yeah, that's probably where I'm at too. Another guy that had some top 50 buzz last year here on your list was Lander Barton. I actually kind of still liked Lander Barton's team.
Yeah, me too. He's a big athlete, man.
For a big dude too.
Yeah, big athlete. Yeah, he's like what?
NFL genetics. His brother plays in the NFL.
He's not legitimate NFL size. And man, there's something about those like old Pac-12 linebackers that I really enjoy, because it felt like no matter what they were, they were always like heady, really intelligent coverage defenders as well.
Yeah.
And so for me, like I'm very excited about him going back to school and getting another year of him and hopefully being one of the top linebackers in that class next year.
Hot take. Did the old Pac-12 have the last of the big meathead white linebackers? Is that the last?
Oh no, there's got to be
Carson
some of those Swessinger guys left
is like
in the Mountain West.
6'3", 249.
No, there's got to be some of those guys remaining in the Mountain West from like Wyoming, from 1A schools that couldn't get recruited. There got to be.
I love it. Next one up, Iowa safety Xavier Nwankwo.
An athlete who has just been talked about for years now, and it's just never materialized. I think he's going back for like year six.
Yeah, does year he do seven, anything different maybe? Than Sebastian Castro, who just went undrafted? Like, does he really do much different than that? Like
the same thing.
I think we got into this. I saw a big time with Castro last summer in summer scouting. We saw an Iowa nickel get drafted top 50, and we're like, well, this is the next guy up in that role. It's like, yeah, but maybe Cooper DeJean was just really freaking good.
See, that's like, about Danny Dennis Sutton too. It's just like the next line of Penn State freak edge rusher. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But yeah.
Maybe he'll turn it on.
These last two names on your list, man, I'm really excited about. One, well, if Le'Veon Moss can stay healthy, I love Le'Veon Moss, dude. At Texas
fun player.
A&M. And him and Marcel Reed in those zone reads have potential to wreck shit if they can stay healthy. Again, Marcel Reed is what he is as a thrower, and his arm talent is pretty
And will he be able to stay healthy?
Yeah. But boy, can he move on those zone raids, dude. He is explosive. So that has potential for a lot of running, a lot of fun. And Texas A&M did go out and get three receivers from the portal, too. Kevin Concepcion, Boosie, and then they got one more guy, Graver. They got Graver as well from the portal. So that Texas A&M offense might have retooled while returning all five of their starting offensive linemen. So
yeah, Zune was a name that I almost put on this list too, because I think he's I think he's going to be a pretty decent pro.
I actually like the right tackle. So the right tackle, I could have put him on here too, but it might happen this year too, because they actually brought back all six of their top offensive lines, because Reuben Fatherly has been battling with injuries and like kind of lost his job, but then they'd rotate him in every once in a while. Yeah. But the right tackle crown over, I actually kind of dig too. I was texting a scout about this, because I was talking about the scout about crown over last summer. We're like, is this guy even going to start? And he didn't to start the year, but then like as the year went on, took over. Like, he's a converted tight end, so you know he's an athlete, but boy, he's so stiff and his pad level's so high. But at the end of the day, like, he doesn't get beat. Like, it's a really funny thing. And then I like Bezontis too, the guard Bezontis at Texas A&M too. So they've got some dudes. along that offensive line, which makes for Le'Veon Moss, potentially to bring this full circle here, makes for him to have a pretty big opportunity if he can stay on.
Please stay on the field.
Last name here. Again, really excited here. What makes me a little less excited for Dane Key, 6'3", Kentucky, transferred to Nebraska, is that Nebraska literally transferred in like a million players at wide receiver. And so, like, how much opportunity? I hope he's got to compete with like Malachi Coleman and some guys like that now. So it's like, how much opportunity, how much run is he going to get? I hope he gets a ton of run, because what he did, he's Kentucky's best receiver last year. I know people really love Berrion Brown, but like, this was Kentucky's best receiver last year.
Oh, yeah.
They had a terrible.
Honestly, Dane Key reminds me a little bit of, I'm having a brain fart again. My brain is fried. This is what happens when you get to single digit body fat and you're in a caloric deficit. You get what they call prep brain. Maryland wide receiver who we freaking love.
Just got drafted?
Yeah.
Ty Felton.
Literally. Huh?
Ty Felton.
Yeah, Ty Felton. Yeah. Literally somebody who I love, and my brain just can't remember him. Reminds me, like, build wise. A little bit, and game wise, a little bit of Ty Felton, somebody who I think, 6'3", has like legitimate juice downfield, and then also can put his foot in the dirt and move as well. I think that he needs to be way more consistent as a route runner and just have his head in the game a little bit more when it comes to being a route runner. But I thought the one thing that he did even better than Felton is fight and finish through contact as well over the middle. He was somebody who, I think he's a little bit thicker than Felton, but not too much thicker than Felton. But he is somebody who played really, really strong through contact over the middle of the field, and he was not afraid of it.
No. And if you go back and watch that,
whole with that game, quarterback play.
Jeez, dude. Yeah. They transferred. Oh, Zach Calzada is their starting quarterback this year, who Texas A&M to Incarnate Word, or to Auburn to Incarnate Word, back to the SEC. He's kind of been all over the place, but, yeah, if you go watch the Ole Miss game last year when they upset Ole Miss, like, Dane Key almost single-handedly beat Ole Miss in that game, just catching absolute garbage balls like prayer.
And then Berrion Brown obviously made the big play in that game, but
and he's at LSU now too.
Garrett
Nussmeier's got some talent. That's probably Chris Hilton, if he's healthy, who was his deep threat at the end of the year last year, he didn't start with but finished with, and Berrion Brown, he's got some boys around him to throw the football to. So.
And he's a chucker.
He's a chucker. But I think that's a great list of leftovers.
Yeah.
I think it is too.
It's a fun list of leftovers. And I left a bunch of names off the list.
Yeah, we left a bunch of names off too. Yeah. I kept my list kind of concise. I mean, yours is pretty concise too, of guys that are like, I knew that, like, I loved these guys at certain points last season.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm pretty excited about heading into the season here, starting to get there again. I dropped a film room on Caden Proctor this past week on my Substack. So we're starting to dive back into some 2026 tape again. I have quarterback takes too. So maybe we'll do that tomorrow. We'll just fire off our quarterback takes for tomorrow's episode.
I've been watching all the fun guys.
There's people, some fun young people, dudes.
People want the dual threats. So I've been cutting up dropbacks and rushes for all these dudes who can move. And guys, there's a bunch of dudes with arms, and there's a bunch of dudes with arms who can move as well. And
they all drive you crazy.
Are they great quarterbacks? But man, are they fun. And we're going to talk about them. And we're going to talk about the one who I think is probably the highest on most people's list and is definitely the lowest on my list. So we will talk about all of that moving forward.
Oh. Is it
as one of those like fun guys who is a dual threat?
Oh, so not as like a top quarterback in the class?
No.
You were like potentially setting up for Lenore Sellers take right there.
No, I love Lenore Sellers.
Is it the Arizona State kid? Is it Levitt?
No. Oh, it's not Levitt either.
Okay. Well, we'll talk about it tomorrow. We'll get to that tomorrow. That's a little
SEC
teaser.
Guy.
SEC guy. Okay. Sounds good. All right. That's all I got, man.
Me too.
That's all I got there. That's a great primer. 30 minutes. Pretty much on the dot there.
Mm-hmm.
Colton, do you want to tell the people all the good news?
Absolutely. I love you guys. Check out my latest YouTube video. It is an entire leg day. Go to my Patreon and sign up to get the good stuff. And if you want, are in need of physique or nutrition guidance. That is also on my Patreon now. And you can get it for free on Discord as well if you join my Discord. So lots of stuff going on for me. And remember, guys, that I love you.